Good morning and welcome to The White Way, a public service radio program of the Mōiliʻi Lihonganji. Mōiliʻi Lihonganji is a Jodo Shinshu Buddhist temple located at 902 University Avenue. Reverend Toshiyuki Umitani and our members invite you to join us at temple services and activities. This morning's broadcast is sponsored by the Hirai family in memory of Kameji and Kume Oyamada. Our speaker this morning is Reverend Jan Youth. Good morning, Reverend Youth.
Aloha, dear Dharma friends. Thank you for making the time to share in the Dharma. Today I wish to share with you my thoughts and considerations surrounding the pandemic of COVID-19 and what it means for us individually and collectively. Each of us have had several responses to the global conditions affecting our life. The responses range from paralyzing fear, debilitating anger, and stunning disbelief. And as we caught our breath, our responses shifted towards denial, blaming, and to fault-finding. Some of our actions followed similar paths based on our personal perspectives about the situation. Whether it was a panic purchasing or stockpiling of household items, our focus was clear. We unapologetically acted in terms of what was going to be necessary for our well-being. Well, now after almost 6 months of stay-at-home, masking, and physical distancing guidelines, we are again repeating the pattern of earlier restrictions. I sit back and anxiously await the return of normalcy in home and neighborhood. It is in these moments that I learn of the creative responses that have come with volunteers sewing masks, arranging Zoom parties, drive-by birthday and wedding celebrations. In this moment, as I balance a new map for living, these acts of kindness and compassion restored humanity in my life. In this moment, I am reminded of the pain and suffering experienced by those who have contracted the virus, as well as their families. In this moment, I begin to shift and see things from the conditions from the outside toward a more deeper look inward into being human. These priceless moments reveal a new self-portrait. The images and emotions brought forth through reflection and introspection may have been an affirmation for my sense of self. This gave rise to a false sense of self-satisfaction and righteousness. Such foolish, selfish, and vain images of who I think I am. The process further led along the path with further questions in what it means to be human. Yet there were thoughts and feelings that did not have any language for any conversation. Yet none of us are immune to the changing conditions of living. We are all feeling something, have an opinion on most things, and make judgments about everything, none of which has changed the reality of the condition. Through all this second-guessing, our conversations and commentaries include the language of, well, I would know what to do. There was a universal, well, if I were the governor, the mayor, the president, or the director, then I would do this, this, and this. And this was done with such smugness that what blurted out from my mouth was supposed to be a solution and a cure-all. And all that utterances were uncensored and thoughtless. We come from a culture of problem-solving. The pandemic is a problem that interferes with our lives and therefore needs a solution. When it was necessary to make lifestyle changes, we did with a sense that it was for the sake of a community well-being as well as our own security. Underlying this, there was also a sense that it was temporary and things would return to normal. And normal is still not here. Pre-COVID, normal was a familiar, comfortable, and yet not without conflict that was unmanageable. Anything else was abnormal, an annoyance and inconvenient. Abnormal I could work out reasonably through, but not always logically. Abnormal I had time to work out the kinks so that the kinks would be absorbed into the normal, so abnormal would become normalized. I embrace the different to make it meaningful for me. And therein was the moment, aha, the wake up to get out of my inflexible and selfish mind. For all the inconveniences and changes that are now part of my life, I need to open my mind and free myself of long-held opinions and judgments of my sense of normalcy. What was most revealing aspect of this awareness came from my granddaughter, who spent a spring term with online classes. There were days with a bit of struggle to log in and to develop a routine and the discipline for being very connected to the devices. There was frustration at not having key nonverbal forms of expression between classmates, teachers, and the lack of feedback. Summer school was more of the same, but now with interaction online with a teacher in communication with a group of students in class. Now comes fall with a new school year, still online, yet with more ease of routine, schedules, and new behavior patterns. My granddaughter has embraced the change or the abnormal of school as it is. There is no whining for things to go back to normal, no complaints about when will things get better. She made this her own. She owns it and is being responsible with it. In a radio interview, ukulele artist Brian Tolentino gave such a bright side for living with COVID conditions. He cannot do in-person classes, nor can he have ukulele festivals around the world. And he celebrates what he is able to do with the technology to reach across borders without visas and passports, to bring people together in the happiness of playing and singing in the sessions. His participants appreciate the event and do not feel at all restricted with the method of transmission. I sit away from all the electronic devices that has consumed my attention and am shocked at how easily I have been distracted to a reality that I created from my ego-driven judgments. I treat my opinions and conclusions as undeniable facts. I cannot see beyond the limits of the screen. In a moment of sheer anguish, I weep. Not for others or about the current conditions. I weep for myself as I slowly come to an awakening of myself as one who moves through this life in the depths of ignorance. It saddened me to think that I, who have the privilege to don a ministerial vestment with its accompanying authority to conduct and officiate reverent practices, am not capable to bring a kind of spiritual first responder to provide care and comfort with compassion. My caring responses only comes on the heels of my own distress. Why do I not respond from my teaching? It scares me to think that the depths of my Jodo Shinshu-ness is but just skin deep. It worries me that I use the teachings as any other utility on my device, like a Jodo Shinshu app. It confirms for me that while I may study the teaching, embrace the teachings, sadly, they do not define who I am. My Jodo Shinshu-ness is not my identity. It is not my beingness. It is a category of who I am. Thus I learn, awakening to this is meaningless. No amount of self-study or intention will change this, but for the grace of Amida to awaken, enable such an awakening. This is my personal journey in response to the impermanent and ever-changing nature of my environment. The constant throughout this was my own ego-driven responses to all conditions around me. I raged about the decisions being made for me. I complained at what I judged to be less informed decisions made by others for me. I grieved at the anecdotes of suffering and loss of life, as well as the personal struggles for those whose work meant helping others live and die with the virus. I cheered for those who could respond in the face of their own personal fears. I felt hopeful as the compassionate responses from so many to keep others uplifted. As the news channels shared numerous acts of and expressions of kindness, love, and peace, gratefully I found a shift or a soft twist in my self-serving, selfish, judging mind. This awakening is not by my effort. This awakening is the grace of Amida that enables an awakening to become soul. This awakening is only possible, as Shinran wrote in Jodo Wasang, the fundamental intent to which the Buddha appeared in this world was to reveal the truth and reality of the primal vow. He taught to encounter or behold the Buddha is as rare as the blossoming of an unambana. The journey of awakening is now, in every encounter, in every conversation, in every thought and action. I need only to be vulnerable and receptive. So, dear friend, may you be well, and be regardless of all conditions, may you experience the compassion of Amida, even without the words to explain it. As I dry my tears, I find myself in a great moment of, I think I'm getting it. The path of awakening is not linear or systematic or intentional. It may be sudden or not, but it is not of my doing. The message from Shinran Wasan brings forth the reality of our condition and the necessity for Shakyamuni's presence in this reality in order for me to experience the compassion of Amida. Shinran reminds me through this Wasan, Shakyamuni and Amida are our father and mother, full of love and compassion for us, guiding us through various skillful means. They bring us to awaken the supreme Shinjing. Namo Amida Butsu.
Thank you, Reverend Youth, for your Dharma message. To re-listen to your message, please check our website at www.moiliilihonganji.org. As we come to the close of our program this morning, we would like to thank our sponsor, the Hirai family, and our speaker, Reverend Jan Youth. We thank you for listening and invite you to join us next week, when our speaker will be Reverend Umitani of Mu'ili'ili Honganji.